Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. We've got to finish up this series today on what not to wear. Isn't that terrible? It's been so much fun. How many have enjoyed it? I mean, I've really, really enjoyed it. It's been really good. We get to talk about something today that should take about 4 or 5 weeks to share, but I'm going to try and give it the whole thing to you in half an hour. So you can do it, Pastor. Say, come on. Come on, you can do it. All right. Ephesians 6, 10 to 13, finally, after all that good stuff that Paul shared, after ridiculous stuff. I mean, we are seated with him in heavenly realms. We are reigning and ruling. The eternal purpose of God was to redeem you out of his wonderful love and his good heart. All the great things, all the revelation that Paul shared in 5 chapters. And then he comes here to chapter 6, he says, finally, I mean, in light of all of that amazing, good, mind-blowing stuff, which is all true, here's what I want. Finally, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's good, isn't it? Lean into the Lord. It's not your own strength that's got to produce it or make it happen. It's the supernatural power of God. Lean into God. Lean into his strength and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I mean, this is all good. You're seated with him in the heavenly realms. You have absolute authority and absolute victory over the devil, but he's still kicking around. He is fatally blown up. He is completely wounded, but I'm going to destroy him under your feet, and I'm going to engage you into finishing my final manifestation of total victory through the body of Christ. It's wonderful that we get to do this. So the enemy isn't just going to go, oh, well, I guess I better leave. We get to take authority over him, but he's going to try and lie and cheat and steal and rob you out of who you are. But he says, be strong in the Lord. Stand against the wiles of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not your wife, your neighbor. It's not the government. It's not political parties. It's not isms and schisms and misms. It's spiritual things that are attacking and causing strife in the world today. But we have the divine answer and solution to all that stuff. Wow. So come on, he says, I want you to battle. I want you to engage. I want you to stand up. I want you to fight against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand or withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, the word wrestle is the word pale. Pale means a contest between two in which one endeavors to show the other, throw them on the ground. The victor is able to hold the opponent down and put his hand on his neck. I mean, that's what God wants us to do, hand-to-hand combat with the devil and put him in a complete submission chokehold in Jesus' name. It's Holy Ghost UFC. Boom. Romans chapter 16, verse 20, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under his feet. Hallelujah. Under your feet. Your feet. You are gloriously invited into this incredible participation, which is a part of God's plan before the foundation of the world. Mankind is to shamar. We talked about the eternal purpose of God. You are to shamar, which is to protect the eternal purpose of God and to once and for all put the kibosh on his enemies. In our contending with the devil, we have a command to stand and a command to wrestle. We got a command to stand against him, to withstand him, and then we got a command to put him in a full body lock, a full chokehold, and put him out for the count. That's what we're called to do. So we got to do that. But that was God's purpose since before the world began. We were introduced into this cosmic battle that the goodness of God might be manifest once and for all through all of cosmos, through all eternity, that God is good and he has invited us into that glorious plan. Isn't that good? And you know what? You are set up for victory. You are condemned to winning all the time. You are condemned that every time you engage, you win. Isn't that good? Who wants to get into the battle where you know ahead of time it's already set up, you win? And that's the way it is. In Jesus' name, we get to enforce the finished work of the cross. Ephesians chapter 6, 14 to 17, therefore, come on, stand, having girded your waist with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness. You got truth. Starts with truth. When you get the truth about who you are and who he is, when you get the truth about God and who he is, you get a great big revelation of righteousness. When you realize that the truth is everything that he's done is so that you can be imparted and imputed the very righteousness of God himself. When you get a revelation of that righteousness, you know what that leads to? Unbelievable peace. You start to move in every aspect of your life. You start to walk around with peace with God, peace in every circumstance, peace in every situation, peace in every aspect of your life. There's wholeness, health, and life and strength because I know the truth. I know I've been made right. Therefore, I have peace in every relationship with God, in every relationship with everyone else, in every relationship with every experience in my life. I have wholeness, health, and shalom. Amen. That's so good. I'm telling you. And then it says, having the gospel of your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith. Over it all, take the shield of faith and you can extinguish and quench the fiery darts of the devil. Water your shield regularly. Soak it with oil. It'll quench every flaming, scheming art of the devil. You can lift up faith. That's how you overcome the world. Your faith, lifting faith over it all, you shall quench every dart of the enemy. And then it says, put on the helmet of salvation. Putting on the helmet of salvation, it says that you take that up and the sword of the Spirit. You get the reality that in your mind you were established. In fact, I am a born-again child of God and nothing can change that. Then you get, here we are, we're at the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's the rhema of God. Say rhema. It's the rhema of God. Ephesians 6:17, King James Version, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Amplified says this, it's the sword of the Spirit, or it's the sword that the Spirit wields. It's the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. Now, look at this right here. The sword of the Spirit is the excellent use of the word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the excellent use of the word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword that the Spirit wields. Now, that word sword is the word mahara. 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 That's the sword. Now, there's many swords that the Romans would use, but the one that he always had with him, the sword that he always carried, was the mahara. And the mahara was no more than 24 inches long. 19 to 24 inches long, and it was a double-edged sword. And this was not a sword which you would hit people with and try to wound them with. This was a sword that was used in hand-to-hand combat to kill your enemy. Not to harm him, not to try to take him out of the battle. Some big swords you'd hit the guy, hack off, you know, a cut on the armor, this and that. But this was to destroy and to kill. This is something you could thrust in, something that was double-edged, something you'd pierce armor and pierce other things. This sword was only for one thing, to kill and destroy your enemy. Not to wound him so he can fight another day, but to absolutely, totally take him out. This sword was brand spanking new. The Romans studied swords, studied warfare, and they designed this sword for hand-to-hand combat. Some historians say that the double-edged sword that they used was such a new radical invention in warfare, it had the same effect of a nuclear bomb in their time. This was the ultimate weapon of war. If you really wanted to intimidate somebody and you're walking with a weapon that could do incredible damage and kill and destroy anything that was coming against you, it was the mahara. And that's what Paul saw when he saw the Roman soldiers guarding him. The guy had in his sheath, the guy was carrying the mahara. And Paul, anointed in the Holy Ghost, by the power of the Spirit, wrote this scripture and shared that the word of God is like a mahara. The word of God is like a nuclear bomb to your enemies. The word of God is the most powerful weapon of our day, and its purpose is to destroy every adversary of your soul and your life. You have been given a tool that is sharper than any two-edged sword. You've been given something that can absolutely annihilate every attack of an enemy on your life in whatever manner or whatever fashion. You have state-of-the-art weaponry to destroy and push back any single attack on your life. Settle down. We're going to war. What kind of weapons we get? The absolute best. So we're going to go into battle with what? The absolute best weaponry of the day. I am going to equip you with the best weapon to operate in hand-to-hand combat with every principality and power. I am setting you up to be victorious and to exercise death blows in every circumstance that tries to come against you. Oh, I wish I could repel this situation. I wish I could fight off this attack on my life. I wish I could come against this thing that's encroaching upon all that God wants in my life. Oh, God, would you give me something that could break me through? Mahara. He's given you the Word of God. The Word under the unction of the Holy Ghost can obliterate any attack of the enemy on your life. All right, I've got to go on. So just let that soak in. Let's move ahead. The Mahara. There's Logos and there's Rhema, all right? Logos is a word uttered by a living voice. It embodies a concept or an idea. Now, this was a word used by the Greeks, and the Greeks often used Logos as other teachers and other things. Everybody had a concept. Everybody had an idea. Everybody, they introduced things, strategies, ways of life, philosophies of life, interpretations of life. There's a Logos. There's a concept. There's an idea. And Logos is the word, and the word Logos is found all over the place in the Bible, but this word Logos in Hebrews 1 verse 2, it says, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. He's spoken to us by his Son. And in John 1, 1, it says, in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. So God shared Logos. When God wanted to send his Son, he sent his Son, who was the embodiment of a whole new idea. He was the embodiment of a new way of life. He was the embodiment of a new kingdom. There's a new concept. You see, when Che Guevara, when he came to Cuba, he came with an ideology, came with a new concept. He came with a new way of life. Che Guevara is dead, and yet you can still see his t-shirts and emblems and things. I was in India. I'm an Indian in Kerala, the southernmost province in India, and I couldn't believe it, but they had Che Guevara t-shirts and Che Guevara symbols all over the place, and they, for the first time, had voted in that province a communist government. Che Guevara was dead. He was some Bolivian guy who operated in this hemisphere, but this dead guy's image was all over the place in southern India, and I couldn't get over it. But even though he was dead, his ideology was still very much alive. Concepts are powerful. You won't obliterate another circumstance or situation with weapons, with guns, with bows and arrows, but the word is powerful. And if you want to change the world, send a word. If you want to change the world, send a new idea, send a new concept, send a new kingdom, a new philosophy, a new ideology. And God so loved the world that he sent his Son. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word to annihilate every other word, to institute a new system, a new revelation from heaven that would annihilate every other system. That word would overcome powerfully and bring about God's kingdom in the earth. That's the word. 2 Timothy 2:15 said, be diligent, present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Why would I need to be ashamed? Shame comes when you can't rightly divide the word. When you can't rightly divide the living, written Logos of God, there's shame attached to ignorance about the scripture. Wasn't that a good word, Pastor? I don't read the Bible. I just come to church and kumbaya. I don't even bring my Bible to church. You throw the words on the screen, so I wouldn't know what to do. You know, we had sword drills when I was a kid. You hold your Bible like this. They'd say, get your swords ready. Everybody get your swords ready. Hold your swords up. And then they would say, I forget what they would say. They would say something. Well, they'd give us this thing to say, and then we'd all say we're ready. And then they would say, John 14:26. And then we'd say, charge. We go, charge. And then we'd all fight for it. And the first one there, just start reading it and shout out the verse. I used to love doing that in Sunday school. How many did that in Sunday school? Yeah. It got us into the word because we had sword drills all the time. You know what? This is a sword. And they were trying to teach us that if you get that word in your life, if you get the Logos in your life, there's times when the Holy Spirit will breathe on that Logos and a rhema will come out of your mouth and destroy the enemy. But you see, Paul is saying to Timothy that if you don't understand the word, if you don't have a working revelation of the scriptures, there's shame for that. But he says you won't need to be ashamed if you can rightly divide the word of truth. Why do you get shame? You get shame because you're not manifesting kingdom in your life. It's because you haven't got word on what's going on. You're not using your Mahara to manifest the kingdom. Sounds like condemnation to me, Pastor. No, it sounds like grow up. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Does that sound like condemnation? No, it's just really good encouragement. And he's saying to Timothy, be strong in the word. How strong are you in the word? How much of the word are you studying? How much application are you giving to the word of God in your life? You're not going to have a whole lot of rhema flying out of your mouth if you haven't got a whole lot of rhema written, or logos written in your heart. Hello. I wish I had a scripture for this. I'll call the pastor. That's fine too. That's all right. You can do that. And I'll pray and I'll agree with you. Two agreeing together, we'll declare the word and I'll pull out my Mahara and we'll kill the devil. Just not this week because I'm golfing. But anyways, no, I'll take my phone with me. It's okay. You got to know the word of God. That's the Logos, the Logos. Hebrews 4, 1 to 2. But the word, the Logos, which they heard did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. It was not mixed with faith by those who heard it. So the Logos alone will not profit you. If you just have the word, but you're not confessing it and operating in faith, if you're not declaring that word of faith, if you're not expressing that, they had the word, but it did not profit them because they didn't have faith. Oh, well, I'll throw a scripture out then. God is good to all he loves. You gotta mix it with faith. It says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the rhemas of God. The rhemas of God. The rhemas of God. The rhemas of God. Rhema. What is rhema? Pastor, rhema is all translated in the English as word as well. But there's word logos and there's word rhema. Rhema means a word of faith spoken or uttered. Spoken. Say spoken. It's not something you think. It's not the word you know. It's the word you're speaking. It's the speaking of the word that makes it active. I gotta say it, you gotta say it. I didn't make this up, I'm just teaching it. And that's what it says. A word of faith that is spoken, it is uttered, it is specific and it is operative. It is the all-powerful word of God or command of God in the mouth of a spiritual person at the time they need it. Matthew 4, 4, it is written. There was the sword fight in the desert. You remember that one where Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost? The Word had the Spirit of God on the Word. And the Word went into the wilderness, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Then the devil said, hey, if you're hungry, why not turn some rocks into bread? Could Jesus do it? Absolutely. Was he hungry? Absolutely. Does God meet all your needs? Absolutely. But right now, I'm on a commission. Well, hey, if you're hungry, just turn that into bread. Could he do it? Absolutely. Absolute legitimate temptation. But he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Say proceeds. The proceeding word. If it's a proceeding word, it's an intimate word. It's a word that is born out of relationship. It's current truth. It's something you're walking in every day. Because you don't have a relationship with a book. You have a relationship with a person. And he's speaking to you and he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth, a rhema. You live by every rhema that comes out of the mouth of God. Now Jesus got the Logos and he put it on his mouth and he turned it into a rhema and he refuted the devil. And he did it 3 times there in the wilderness and the devil never showed up again. No, it says the devil left him for a more opportune time. Battle wasn't over. It was going to go on and on and on. But Jesus, the living Logos, he knew how to use the Logos under the anointing of the Spirit and defeat the enemy in every single situation. Can I get a hallelujah? Luke chapter 1, 37 to 38. For with God, nothing is impossible. Let it be unto me according to your word. This is the angel comes to Mary. And she's a teenage kid, a young kid, 13, 14. She's a young, young teenager, you know. And God comes and says, Mary, I mean, you're honored above all women. God is going to use you. He's going to bore your womb. He's going to put his seed in you. And you're going to give birth to the Son of God. And this teenager said, what? What will my dad say about that? I mean, she must have had a lot of things going through her head. But she didn't say, you can't do it. She just literally went, wow, that's pretty awesome. How are you going to do that? Not, I don't believe it, but how? I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, I'm a virgin. I've never even known a man. So how are you going to get about that? And the angel said, no word from God. Literally, that word nothing, if you look it up, that word nothing in the Greek is no rhema. So he's saying there is no rhema. There is no quickened word from heaven. There is no quickened word. The voice of God, when he speaks, that speaking, that voice itself, when he said, let there be light, there was light. Because the declaration of let there be light was full of power to bring forth light. Every word from God is already supercharged to bring into manifestation whatever he said. So if he told you, you're going to have a child by the Holy Ghost, that word that I have, I came from heaven with a word that is already supercharged with everything necessary to bring into manifestation what God wanted. I even put my wrestling voice on right there just to bring it into manifestation. Eat your vitamins, you know. Do your homework. No word from God. No rhema. There is no rhema that is already not packing the power of heaven to bring into expression what God desires for you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Father. All right. The word of God was written so that it might be spoken. The word of God was written so that it might be spoken. That's why the word was written, so that you could speak it. 2 Corinthians 4:13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, he talked about let there be light. God said, let there be light. God, operating in a spirit of faith, said, let there be light. He said, and according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. I believe something. I get a revelation of something. That word becomes quickened to me. And for it to come into expression, I have to speak that quickened word. For what he breathed on my life to come into expression, I have to speak it. I believed, therefore I speak. All believers are also speakers. It's no good to have a receiver if you haven't got speakers attached to your receiver. How many have a receiver at home? I'm talking about, you know, components and things like you got a TV set or something. If you got a receiver and you got like surround sounds, so you can blow up your house and drive your neighbors crazy. You know, if you got a receiver without speakers, no receiver's any good if you don't have speakers. You see, you believe and you receive the word of God, but you're not going to have the expression of what God spoke to you if you don't have speakers. So your believer, your receiver, God writes images on your heart and he does that so you'll get full of faith. You go, whoa, I love this word. And then you'll, wah, when you speak it, it comes into expression and manifestation. So you got to speak. Turn to your neighbor and say, speak up. Come on, you got to speak. Jeremiah 1:12 says, I am alert and active. I am watching over my word to perform it. So God is saying, I am watching. I am looking. Whenever people utter the word of faith, when they speak the word of God, when they loose the rhema, I am looking for it. I am watching over it. I am active looking for that word, because when my word is spoken, all of heaven engages to bring it into manifestation. I love what Reinhard Bonnke said. Reinhard Bonnke said, God's word on your mouth is exactly the same as his word on his mouth. You mean when I say God's word, it's just like God saying his word? No word from God is without power. When you take God's word and you speak it, it's just like God himself said it. That's why I love Peter said. Peter said, when you speak, speak as an oracle of God. Who do you think you are? I am an oracle of God. That's the absolute truth. Come in line with the scripture. Don't hope things will change. Command these things to come into expression in your life. This is the offensive weapon that God gave you to bring into manifestation every promise in the word of God. Let's get incredibly excellent with the word of God. Joshua 1 verse 8, when the book of the law, it shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely, and you shall have good success. You got to get the word. You got to meditate on the word. You got to get the word of God dwelling in you richly. You get the word in you. I'm telling you, it's powerful, but this is you. Come on. Your responsibility. Don't be ashamed. Don't be somebody who has to be ashamed, but rightly understand how to divide the word of truth. Psalm 103:20. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Not hearkening to the voice of God, but hearkening to the voice of his word. It's not when God speaks, they do something. They do, though. They do hearken to his voice. But you see, when you speak, you activate the heavenly realm. When you get God's word on your mouth, angels are literally, boop, hey, God's word was spoke there. We've got to engage. They are ready to engage. The angelic realm will line up with the revelation of Christ. They'll line up with his word on your mouth. You have all of these resources available to you to wreck the prince of darkness, to wreck every principality and power, to bring the kingdom into manifestation in your life and the life of everyone around you. Whoa! I wish God had a plan to change the city. It's really, really good. You know what? People perish for lack of knowledge. You know, people live in low places and low expressions of God because they lack the understanding of who they are. But you are a child of God. Mark 11, 23-24 says, he who believes what he says will take place, it will be done for them. He who believes what he says will take place, it will be done for them. Says, the word say is the word Lego. I love the word Lego. It was early in my preaching and early in my pastoring, I clicked on a little icon to say, what is that word says? What is that in the Greek? And it went, Lego. I clicked on it again and went, Lego. And it says, whatever you Lego, it will take place. I was like, that is so cool, because my son was a Lego maniac. And Dylan would take, he would make whatever we bought him, and he'd say, that was no fun. And he'd throw it in this big bin of Lego that he had, and we've still got it. But he would throw it in the big bin, and then out of that bin, he would create things. He would pull things out, and he would symmetrically create things out of his own imagination. He would create things. And I went, isn't that amazing? It's like God writes on our heart. He writes in our imagination, gives us images of things he wants us to walk in and possess. And with Lego, we build those things. With our words, we call them into expression. With our words, we build the kingdom and purpose of God in our lives. And you build those things and God manifests in it. It says when you say it, it will be done for you. Is there something you need to say? Is there something, is there some mountain in your way? Is there something that's standing in front of God's desire for you? You're going to change that by getting the word active on your mouth. What he believes, it will be done. Speak. The word Lego means to speak, to command, to direct, or to point out with your words. To point out with your words. You do that when you got little kids and when they're little babies, they go, yeah, 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 yeah. What's that mean? That means they want milk. But you know, when they're 5 years old, still going, yeah, 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 you're finally like, hey, use your words. You know, and if you're going to grow up in the kingdom, you got to start to use your words. And then when you come full mature, you realize, not only am I using my words, I'm using my authority. And you realize, I don't just have words. I am packing authority. God's word on my mouth is the same as his word in his mouth. And he's given me his name, his mighty name, that at the name of Jesus, when I declare these things, they have to come into manifestation. Holy, how many want to get out of here and start practicing right now? You're like, Fed, stop talking, I'm ready. Start confessing over yourself right now. You are ridiculously equipped to prosper and go ahead. Wow, man, I had a vision right there. It was an excited church, jumping up and down, shouting glory to Jesus. Just, man. Wow, it was so good, so good, so good. All right, let's go on. Go on, Pastor, go on. The righteousness that entered my heart through faith desires to speak. The recreated righteous spirit on the inside of me desires to speak and bring forth the rule and the reign of God's kingdom in my life. These notes are always on the website. Before I start preaching, the notes are already there. You can pull them up right now on your iPad, your iPhone, your ding-dong, your wing-wong, whatever. You can pull it out and you can be looking at it as I preach. And it's there after the service, too. You can go back, you can listen to the sermon over and over again, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We got a YouTube site. You can listen to it there, too. Man, we're doing everything we can to get the word into you. But people are so successful at avoiding it and calling the pastor for homemade meals in the office. I'm not going to give you a homemade meal in the office if you didn't take the buffet and apply it to your life. If you're not going to eat at the buffet, on you. All right, never mind. That wasn't very encouraging. Romans 10, 8 to 10, it says, the word is near you. Where is it? It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth you confess unto salvation. With the heart you believe that it is as he says, and with the mouth you confess it to come into expression. With the heart, you go, I think that's really awesome. I believe that's really great. And with the mouth, you say, let what I believe come into manifestation. If you don't use your words, you won't have what's in your heart. It's a rule. It's the way it works. If you don't do it, even if you go, I don't care how you do it, just get it on your lips, start to say it, your world will change. Your miracle is on your mouth. Oh, I thought the miracle was at the meeting 2 weeks from now. I'm signed up for this wonderful meeting 5 weeks from now. I've paid millions of dollars to fly here and there to get my miracle. Your miracle is on your mouth. Your address in the spirit realm is... But if I have a conference, please come. Because it'll really help you. The word protects us, defense of Hebrews 4:12. For the word is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Listen to this, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, discerning thoughts and intents of your heart. The word is defensive. The word will get in. You'll read the word and the word will pierce right between soul and spirit. It'll deal with your hypocrisy, deal with your pride, deal with your unbelief, deal with those issues in you, deal with your lack of understanding of who you are. The word will rip out of you any stronghold or any place where the enemy can encroach. The word will rip out of you any place where the enemy says, I got room in you, I got room in you. The word will work inside you. It will divide and it'll liberate you from everything that's not from God. Your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's a good word, Pastor. James 1:22-24, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving who? Yourself. Everybody else knows you're not doing the word. The only person deceived is you. But I sit in church and listen to all the sermons. I know you do, but you're just a hearer. You're not a doer. And nobody else is deceived, just you. I was in church again, eh? Woohoo! But then you go back to your miserable life. I'm not talking to any of you people. I'm talking about the people, you know, somewhere else. Preach the sermon somewhere else. It was for them. But you know what? The word, if you're not doing it, you're deceiving yourself. The doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, sees a big piece of mustard, and ignores it and walks to work anyway. That's what he's saying. He's saying you look in the mirror and you see something not right, but you ignore it. And you go, oh, look, that's not right. Oh, well, I'll live with it. When you get into the word, it'll speak to you. You get into the word, it'll deal with issues in your life. And when you get into the word and you ignore what God is saying, you're walking around, and believe me, a really good friend is going to say, is that mustard on your lip? I thought I saw that earlier. Did you notice it? Yes. By the way, your ignorance is showing. Really? I had no idea. Oh, Pastor, you're meddling. You're getting really close to home now. You're actually personally applying the word. I hate that. Can't you talk in gross, wonderful generalities that really never affect me? We could get really specific. Aren't you glad, though, that he covers everything? Aren't you glad that he's good? And you know, the only thing he pokes and prods is to make things better. He'll never expose you. But some people don't have a mirror. They got just a shell. And they think the word is something they use to look through at other people's lives. I was just looking in the word and I saw this problem with you. Well, if you're really looking at the word is a mirror. It's not a looking glass. It's not something you look through. It's something where you see a reflection yourself. But it's amazing how people can just look through the word and apply it to everybody else but themselves. I was reading the word today, brother, and the Lord brought you to my mind. Really? And he didn't address the mustard on your tie. Really? Wow. I couldn't see the mustard on my tie, but I could see that little thing on your nose. Are you going to squeeze that picket or let it come to a head? It is a mirror, folks. It's not something you look through to attack other people. It's something God uses to bring the manifestation, the full image, the full maturity of Christ himself in your life. The word is a good thing. Say amen. Amen. All right. The rhema, the word is for attack. The word is for offense. Acts 5:20, it says, go stand in the temple and speak to the people the words of life. The word there is rhema. Go speak rhemas. They were locked in jail, put in jail. And you know, an angel came and said, all right, what are you guys doing in here? Get out of here. I'm going to set you free now. Go to the temple. Go into the public places and speak rhemas in the public places. Speak the salvation of God. Rhemas, powerful words to bring transformation. Acts 10:44 and Acts 11:14, both related. While Peter was still speaking these rhemas, Peter was preaching in Cornelius' house. In 11:14, he's talking about, he said, the words which you and your household hear, by which you will be saved. He's talking about Cornelius. Cornelius got a word from an angel. He said, there are rhemas going to come to you from someone, and those rhemas are going to save you and your household. That's what Paul said. He said, while I was speaking the rhemas in Cornelius' house, while I was speaking rhema, heaven invaded the whole situation and everybody was saved. Everybody was filled with the Spirit. Everybody was delivered and set free because the preaching of the rhema brings heaven into manifestation. It destroys every yoke of the enemy, shatters every bondage of hell. The rhemas bring heaven into expression and they set the captives free. All right. All right. I'm sweating up a storm here. I'm just having a lot of fun by myself. Yes. Let me give you some rhemas. You ready? Lamentations. Lamentations 3, 19 to 23. I got busted. I got caught for a couple of drunk driving charges, possession of marijuana, and a bunch of crazy things, and had a bunch of charges, had to go to court, went to court graciously. I got treated in incredible ways, had a really good lawyer, but anyways, my life was still a wreck, totally messed up. I'd lost my job, lost everything. I had to move back in with my parents, and here I was. And everybody had gone off to work, and my dad's Bible was on the table, and I flipped it open, and I said, what am I going to find? I don't know. And I saw Lamentations. I said, I feel like lamenting. Life stinks right now, so let's read some Lamentations. It's a little book. Let's do that. I got into that book, and I got right here to chapter 3, and it said, remember my affliction and my roaming, the wormwood and the gall. And I said, this is a really sad book. I mean, man, this is horrible. I mean, I knew I feel terrible, but these guys, life really stunk for them. I'm reading along, it says, my soul still remembers and it sinks within me. I'm going, yeah, I know. A lot of crappy life I've been living, and yeah, I guess I deserve what I got. Here I am. But then all of a sudden it says, but this I recall to mind. Therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Wow. Right there in that morning, that word exploded. And as I read it out loud, the rhema of heaven whacked me, and I was delivered and set free just by sitting and speaking the word of God at a coffee table in my parents' room. Totally revolutionized my life, set me on a new pace. And I went, God, I love you. It's amazing. I said, but I got fines. I got a lot of crappy stuff, but that's all right. You know, I'm going to make it through. And he said, I'm telling you this, I'm not going to deliver you from that. But I'm going to make the harvest of your righteousness so big. I'm going to make, in this year as you pursue me, I am going to make the harvest of your righteousness in this one year so big that you'll forget all about the debts. I'll obliterate every debt. I'll take care of everything. I will cover it. And I tell you this, in a year you won't recognize yourself. And that was God. Through this word, his voice began to speak to me. And I said, let it be unto me according to your word. One year from then, standing in my uncle's home, having a celebration at Christmas, I stood behind two of my uncles. They didn't even know I was there. I just kind of snuck in behind them to see what was going on. And one of them turned to the other and says, man, if you'd have told me that Carly would be where he is today in a year, that's what they called me, Carly. They said, if you'd have told me that a year later that he'd look like he does today, I'd have never believed you. He says, I can't even recognize the kid. And immediately God's word said, I told you. You won't even recognize yourself. And he totally transformed my life in a year. And then he made Cheryl fall in love with me, and she asked me out. It was so awesome. Absolute true story, but I don't have time. But that was a genuine rhema of God, a word that was powerful, that picked me up out of the mud and completely delivered me. And a year later, I stood boldly without shame or fear or accusation. I am a child of God. So good. Let me give you another. You ready? Give you another one right here. Here, it's coming right now. 1 John 5:18. I love this scripture. We know that God's children do not make practice of sinning, for God's sons hold them securely. God's son holds them securely. This is the best really translation of this verse. It says, God's son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. Now, we were in Bible school ready to come here, to come to London to minister. And I started having these dreams that somebody abducted my two children. Cheryl was pregnant. I didn't even know she was having a boy. But in this dream that kept happening every night, I kept on having my son and my daughter abducted and taken down the Thames River. And I'm running in this dream, always running after this boat that's going down the river with my kids. And I'd wake up and go, what the heck was that? And I was like, that's terrible. Even had people prophesying over me, oh, you're going to a hard place. The devil's at work in that city. And I'm going, shut up. And then my daughter, she'd come running in the middle of the night, and she'd have a bad dream. I'd pray over and put her to bed. Then one night I said, honey, what is it you're dreaming about? And she said, somebody abducted me and my little brother, and they put us in a boat, and they took us down the river. And I went, what? I said, that's the same dream I'm having. So it doesn't take too much, even though I was a little thick, but not so thick to realize this is an attack from the pit of hell. So I grabbed this verse and I said, I'm a child of God. My daughter is my child. And devil, you cannot touch me and you cannot touch her. And I insist now in Jesus' name, I break this tormenting dream off of my life, off of my daughter's life. How dare you try to come against me and then touch my daughter, you rotten dog. You cannot touch me. The word of God adjures you. The blood of Jesus repels you. I curse you now in the name of Jesus. Dreams were gone. Both of us totally set free. But you know what? You have confidence in the word. The word, let me give you another one. Look at this one. Here it is, Isaiah 58:11. Now my son came down with a disease called hip perthes. And literally it's some non-traumatic event. Just for some reason, the blood stops flowing to your hip and the joint dies. And so it became painful. I noticed when he's playing hockey, he was going funny on his skate. And I thought it was his skates. I bought him new skates. And then he's like, he's doing it some more. And I went, it's not the skates. And so then I said, well, what's wrong? We took him to the doctor. They x-rayed his knee and everything seemed to be fine. Then they sent him to a specialist. And the guy put him on a table, pushed his hips back. And then I went, ah! And he went, ah, yeah, that's what it is. He's got hip perthes. He goes, hip what? I've never heard of this stupid thing. But then when I told my mom about it, she says, remember that boy in school with you? He had hip perthes. They put him in an A-frame, and he was in that A-frame for like 3 years to make sure that the hip was demobilized so it didn't become crushed. I went, what? The devil's attacked my son with that? What? I got every single scripture about bones. And every night, he and I would confess every bone scripture over him. My bones shall not be crushed. They shall not be touched. God watched over my bones. One night, we were reading this together. It said, the Lord will guide you continually. He'll satisfy your soul in a drought. And he will strengthen your bones like a watershed, like a garden. And when I said it, it was like I was taken right into his hip. It's like literally his hip opened up and I whoop. And all of a sudden, I saw the whole hip fully restored. And then wham, I came back up out. And Dylan went, whoop. And I went, did you feel that? He goes, yeah, what the heck? But right then, both he and I knew he was totally healed. Amen. They said by the time he's 18, he may need a hip replacement. I mean, if this gets bad, we may have to hospitalize him and put him in traction. If it gets really bad, we'll have to put him in an A-frame. He never had to go in an A-frame, never had to do any of that. I had to carry him upstairs to school. I had to pick him up. I had to carry him up 3 flights of stairs. Thank God I was young then. Glory to God. You know, we went through a few years of that, and then we took him back to the doctor. He said, well, let's take a look, see what's going on. He said, you know, well, let's try this. He went, wow. Well, he might have limited wow. He might have limited movement. This, wow. And I went, what's going on? He said, let's take some x-rays. He took some x-rays. He says, wow, that hip has come back. It's almost perfectly restored. He says, it's amazing. That's amazing stuff. I said, it's God. It's the power of his word. It's when you confess the word of God in somebody's life. Now he's 26 years old and never had to have a hip replaced or any of those crazy things. And I tell you, the word of God works. Let me give you one more. Philippians 3:13-14. And I got to end right now. I can't believe my wife's not waving at me. Where is she? Oh, I told you I'd only be half an hour, right? Okay, I was speaking, and I don't preach by the clock, I preach by the calendar. So, yeah. Philippians 3:13-14, this is it. Look what it says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things, God. Oh, Jesus. Okay, sorry, this is a fresh one. Oh, Jesus. Okay, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize upward, the call of Jesus Christ, the call of Christ Jesus, the call of God in Christ Jesus. Sharing that one with you, because you know what? Sometimes the preached word is rhema. When you're sitting under a preached word, it's rhema. It is the powerful word of God. How many have been sitting in a message, and just a message in your heart changed your whole life? I was sitting in our conference over in the UK, and one of our guys was preaching. He began to preach a word. He began to preach that word. It just started to wreck me. It started to just lift my vision higher and do things. I started to see nations and other places. He's put some things on my heart. And he said, reach forward. Reach forward. And he just really, I just got, wow. He just brought all kinds of visions and things back to the surface in my life. And that word, literally forgetting those things that are behind, girl. Forget the nonsense. Forget it all. It's time for you to reach forward. It's time for you to resurrect those dreams, those visions, those things they put on your heart. And that word hammered me like a rhema word. And I now, we're in 100 nations in the world. But there's some nations in the world where we don't have apostolic churches. I want to, on purpose, in the very next few years ahead, I want to establish an apostolic church in a nation where there isn't one right now. And I want to do it. I'm right now using my little Babbel app on my phone, and I'm trying to learn Spanish, and I want to get some tutoring and get some things. But I want to. The Lord has laid a burden on my heart for Spanish nations. And he said to me, it's time to press forward. And literally, I'm saying this right to you. I don't even want to say this to you right now. You know why I don't want to say this to you right now? Because this is like throwing my hat over the wall. Because now you'll all go, so when's that going to happen? What you going to do? How are you doing with that? Blah, blah, blah. I'd rather not tell you. Then I don't have to be accountable. But now I say it. And I do that. And so I've told a whole bunch of people that there's a nation in my heart. And we're going to take that nation. A fresh rhema. There's a new rhema. There's a rhema from God right now. There's rhemas for you. Many of you, I'm speaking to you right now, and it's not a rebuke, it's an encouragement. You got to forget the nonsense, forget the stupidity. You're casting, you're on autopilot right now. Life is good, but you know what? There's more. There's more. And you know what? You're living a life that looks an awful lot like contentment. There was a time where your passion and your zeal for him was stronger than it is today. And that says to me that if there was one day where you had more passion than you do today, you're not as hot as you were, which is not good. And if there's no fresh vision or no fresh dreams in your heart, I'm telling you, you are equipped with the sword of God. You are equipped with the word of God. You have been put on this earth to wreak havoc in the kingdom of darkness and bring forth the kingdom of God's own son in every area of your life. This may not go take a nation, go do something else. It may be something in your life that you've been dreaming about personally that you put on the shelf. It's time to get it done. Stand up with me. Jesus. Wow, Pastor, my goodness. Just your heads bowed, just eyes closed, and just everybody praying, all right? All the believers are praying. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you. If you don't know right now, certainly that God is my Father, I am his child, and you're not fully aware of that, I want to pray for you. I'm going to count to three. I'm just going to go one, two, three. And if you don't know him or you want to make sure about that, you put your hand up and we're going to pray, all right? Are you ready? It's you. God's talking to you. It's his hand on your heart right now. Are you ready? One, two, three. Lift up your hand right where you are. Lift it high enough so I can see it. Thank you. Anyone else? Lift your hand up right now. Lift it up high. Jesus. 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 You can still do it right now. Just lift up your hand. Lift it up. Thank you. You can still do it right now. All right. I'm going to pray for you. Maybe someone didn't put your hand up, but listen, pray this with me, all right? Everybody's going to lift up their voice, so it's you together with everyone. Father, thank you for accepting me. Thank you for dealing with sin and every obstacle. Thank you for giving Jesus the new and living way. Through the work of the cross, I can declare I am forgiven. Come now, make me born again and fill me with your spirit. Be my Lord, be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So good. So good. Talk to somebody. Welcome to the kingdom. Welcome to the house of God. Every blessing of God is yours. You're a full mature child in his presence. Let me bless you all. People are coming up right now. We got prayer people at the altars. They're going to pray for you and minister to you. Every week there's people assigned to pray. So they're up here now and they're ready to minister to you. Have you been to the altar lately? Have you been to the altar lately? Come just because you haven't come for a while. You know, come just because, you know, you should. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I bless each one in this house. I thank you for each one. Thank you for this wonderful summer we've been having. I thank you for the rich blessing that you have for each and every one. I pray the word would prosper in their hearts and their spirits. And I pray, Lord, your wonderful love. Father of love, Father of lights, bestow your love upon each one. Gracious Savior Jesus, let your grace wrap and surround. Let your favor go before each one. And Holy Spirit, thank you for your partnership and your divine comfort that wraps me and surrounds me everywhere I go. Let these folks go forward now and manifest and loose the kingdom everywhere they go for your honor and for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome day.